Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We are crossing to our friends now at the BBC to take a look at some of the events making international headlines. We've got Rich Preston this evening. Rich, lovely to have you here as always.
Good evening, Emil. Very good to be with you again.
Now, let's start with Reddit, shall we? The social media website Reddit, which might be going public on the New York Stock Exchange. This is an interesting development.
It is interesting. Now, Reddit, are you a Redditor, Emil? Do you use it?
I do use Reddit, yeah. Sometimes I get story ideas from Reddit, actually.
Okay. So, yeah, Reddit's an interesting one. It often doesn't get the attention of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter or X, but it's not insignificant. 1.22 billion users as of January this year. That's nearly double what X says it has. Reddit's strapline is that it's the front page of the internet. Now, it's a funny one. It's more conversational, as you'll know, Emil, in tone. People start topics and then you get subtopics or subreddits, as they're called. It's not about likes or reposts in the way that things like X or Instagram are. Yeah. But because of that, it's also not as well organized. You get these very niche little groups. I'm not going to ask you what your specialist kind of topics of interest are on Reddit, but you can get really down some rabbit warrens there from, yeah, you know, how to bake the perfect croissant to how to train your gun dog, which is much more what I would be about, mm-hmm, to, you know, Formula One motor cars. So it's really about this community engagement. It can turn toxic. There have been stories about hate speech and hate crimes on Reddit. There is also relatively high prevalence of pornography and adult content, which is going to be problematic, mm-hmm, if the company is going public. But of course, this is all about money. And this is particularly interesting because in 20 years, Reddit has not turned a profit. So it's a bold move to go public when you are effectively a loss-making organization. It's also the first time a social media company has gone public since Snapchat did this in 2017. Nonetheless, Reddit's pushing ahead. It really wants to reward its community, actually. It says it will reserve shares for some of its top users. Maybe that will be you, Emil. You'll find out this week.
So.
Reddit says this is because the users have a deep sense of ownership over the community. So Reddit wants to raise about $500 million. They're going to be selling about 22 million shares. Value the company between $5.5 and $6.5 billion. So this is going to have the planning on the pricing on the IPO will happen on the 20th on Wednesday. And then all being well, trading will open on the New York Stock Exchange the next day. So be Friday morning for you guys, really early Friday morning. Couple of interesting things. First of all, the traders on the floor are going to be apparently decked out in Reddit's white and orange color scheme. That will be interesting. It's also noteworthy, if you watch the financial markets, you might have clocked onto the fact that this is the New York Stock Exchange, yeah, Reddit is launching on, and not the NASDAQ. Most tech companies list on the NASDAQ. So Reddit going for the New York Stock Exchange, not crystal clear why, but that's the move they've made. So we're looking at this happening, as I say, early Friday morning for you guys.
I think this is absolutely fascinating because so much of Reddit's appeal is due to its sort of anti-establishment undertone and its quite socialized, you know, flat structure. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how this goes. Anyway,
yeah, one to watch for sure.
Indeed. Let's go to Australia, and China's foreign minister will also be going to Australia this week. First time in quite some time. This is a big deal, Rich.
Yeah, really big. I know the foreign minister is visiting you guys in New Zealand as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's that kind of geographical versus political balance, because of course geographically in China's backyard, amongst Indonesia, Philippines, of course, where there's regular friction with China. But politically, ostensibly, a Western nation gets bundled in with British, American, European politics. So Australia has for many years had to walk this delicate tightrope. There are a few things that have stirred the pot in recent years, a key one being the AUKUS submarine deal between Australia, the UK and the US. Now, Britain, America, and Australia say this is about protecting the Indo-Pacific. China sees it as a way for Britain and America to kind of use Australia to get their weapons and weapon systems into its waters. So Beijing not happy about that. Mm. Also things like Huawei. Australia banned Huawei from its 5G government contract. China didn't like that and imposed tariffs and trade barriers on Australian exports in response. The salt in the wound for China was when Australia added its voice to calls for a probe into the origins of COVID-19. That didn't go down well in Beijing. The wounds have slightly healed, hence these strategic talks between China's foreign minister and Australian officials this week. Interestingly, wine is at the top of the agenda. China imposed tariffs of up to 200% on Australian wine back in 2020. The Australian wine economy is in a bit of a glut, yeah. So Australian officials want those to be removed. Politics are not going to be off the table. Penny Wong, Australia's foreign minister, has said Australia seeks to cooperate with China where we can, disagree where we must, and engage in our national interests. So it is possible things like human rights, Hong Kong, and Taiwan might also come up. Australia also possibly raising the issue of an Australian academic who's been detained in China and given the death sentence there. So we'll wait to see what happens this week.
And finally, Rich, what, about a minute and a half left, which probably isn't long enough to adequately talk about the EU and Russia, but I challenge you to do so anyway. European leaders meeting in Brussels Thursday to discuss the war in Ukraine and the situation in the Middle East. Any idea what we're expecting there?
Well, it's hard to say. These meetings happen often, but it's a crucial moment. Of course, President Putin has just, quote unquote, won the presidential election in Russia. Today, Monday, is also actually, Emil, the 10-year anniversary of Russia annexing Crimea. Mm. And of course, in the Middle East, there's still no deal brokered between Israel and Gaza. Now, we're expecting European leaders to reaffirm their commitment to Ukraine. There might be an announcement of further funding or supplies of weapon systems. That might happen. Pushback against Russia's war in Ukraine and also criticism of the presidential election. We're also going to be expecting statements on what's happening in Gaza, adding calls for a humanitarian pause and a ceasefire and urging Israel not to go ahead with this ground offensive in Rafah, which Israel says it needs to do to wipe out Hamas. Now, there will be a statement, a piece of text drawn up that will need the approval of all EU27 national leaders. So whatever does come out of this meeting, it is a joint unified response from every single European Union member.
Rich Preston from the BBC. And we didn't even talk about the FA Cup ties over the past couple of days. Maybe next time. Thanks very much, as always, Rich.
Thanks, Emil. Cheers.
It's Rich Preston from our friends over at the BBC.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.